Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Lion of Vienna podcast, episode 51. And despite my voice maybe sounding a bit happy, because I'm smiling, I like being on this podcast. This is not a very happy place at the moment, and I don't suppose you can wonder why. But anyway, with me today is Bristol native Jamie Moss. Jamie, how are you?
I've been better. I've been better.
Nothing embarrassing happened at the weekend, I'm sure. Nothing that all your friends from Bristol would want to take the piss out of you for. Monday, I'm sure you're fine.
It's not like I was sat with one of them. You know, I wasn't. That wasn't a thing. So no, I wasn't doing it. I was watching the rugby. That was great, wasn't it? That's the only sport that happened, wasn't it?
I would not know.
England won. England did winning, so that was fine.
Oh, that's alright, I suppose.
That's all I remember.
And also with me is Dan the Man He Rode, Thomas. How's things, my man?
Good. I watched Leicester win again. 1-0 to the Foxes. It was brilliant. Premier League, great, innit? Let's talk about Premier League. In fact, let's not talk about football at all. Let's just talk about science and philosophy and tax and
crap. Have you seen the Boaty McBoatface thing?
See, that's I'd sooner rather talk about that than something that occurred at Ashton Gate on Saturday.
I've no idea what you're alluding to. I'm at sixes and sevens. I've just no idea what on earth you could be discussing. It was going well at one point, Bolton Wanderers, wasn't it? It was like, oh, got new owners, a certain manager's gone, everything's looking rosy, we're going up, looking on the bright side of life, kids are in the team. Oh. It came plummeting back to...
It's the hype that kills you.
Isn't it always, as Bane once said. Yeah, I don't know the quote, but you know that quote from Batman. You don't need to recite it to you. We're gonna have to talk about it, aren't we? What, Tom?
Do we have to?
Well, we are a podcast about Bolton Wanderers, and Bolton Wanderers did play at the weekend, apparently, even though they've not actually been seen on the pitch.
I genuinely think we'll get more listeners if we advertise that we're not talking about Bolton Wanderers. I think more people...
That's going to be an interesting sell for a Bolton Wanderers podcast, to not talk about Bolton Wanderers.
I tell you what, let's go round and list the things we'd rather talk about.
Are you suggesting a game here, Thomas?
I am suggesting a game.
This is awful. This did not come across as natural as we planned at all, has it?
We'll start with you, Dan, right? There's one thing that you'd rather discuss, and then we'll go to you, Jamie, and we'll go around. Forfeit is whoever stalls or stutters or can't think of anything to say.
So we have to do it rapid fire, and we have to come up with something different every time and something that's not being said.
Something different every time, nice and rapid. Whoever stalls or can't think of anything or ums and ahs, you've got to talk about the match for 30 seconds non-stop.
What a punishment that is. What a punishment. Alright, I think you should start. Alright, which order are we going?
I'm not fussed.
Well, you sure game. You say the order.
Right, Dan, Jamie, me. Go.
Okay. Daredevil Season 2.
House of Cards.
Corporation Tax.
Boaty McBoatface.
My Exams, which is also Corporation Tax.
McLaren's Hairline.
Rafa Benitez and Sam Allardyce fighting, even though they didn't.
Death. There we go, Death.
Rihanna's Diction.
Kanye West's shit album.
Oh, I'm so bad at these games. Is that enough hesitation? Do I have to forfeit
it
now?
Sounds like it. Go on, Jamie. You're going to have to talk about Bolton Wanderers.
30 seconds. Alright, have we got a timer? Have you got a timer, Tom?
Yeah, are you ready?
I can. Yeah, I'm ready.
Starting now.
Wait, what phrases? What phrases? Omnishambolic, apocalyptically bad. I like that phrase. It was the worst I've ever seen a football team play football. If you can actually call it playing football. It wasn't really. Surely if it's going to be a football match, you actually have to have two teams playing football well enough for it to be a match. So did it hit the point where it isn't actually a football match anymore? That's an interesting. Yeah, you wanted to talk philosophy earlier. I don't really know where to start with slagging it off, with dissecting any part of it. There was so little. The one that, like, one bright spark was Woolery twice getting the ball and running. He caused some problems twice, but the one problem was he then just ran out of play, which isn't ideal. But maybe if he learns, then he'll be able to actually do something with the ball when he's in their penalty area. But
is it safe to say you're struggling to sum up how bad we were at the weekend, Jamie? Because it was that bad.
Yeah. It's not where to start.
I can help you out here.
All right, help me out.
We were fucking wank. Like, the wankest you can actually imagine. Just like, imagine wank. Right, probably not the best choice of bad words.
Yeah, imagining wank something quite different.
Yeah. Right, this has not been the best start to the podcast that's ever happened. Imagine shit. Imagine the big pile of shit in Jurassic Park. That big pile of shit. That was Bolton Wanderers at the weekend. Just the massive... And you know what, and then the Dying Dinosaur as well. That was also Bolton Wanderers at the weekend.
I mean, I really feel sorry for you, Jamie, because... it got to half time and I just started watching the Leicester match, but you had to sit there and go through the whole 90 minutes.
The worst thing for me, actually, the most traumatic thing for me was I was genuine. I was sat in the City End with my mate and his dad. It was meant that I had to celebrate each and every one of those goals. And that's the most goals I've had to celebrate at a football match I've been at ever.
Oh, right.
And it was for Bristol City, and that's just... Yeah. That's just it's just depressing, isn't it?
If you could sum it up with a depressing song lyric, how would you sum it up?
For a depressing song lyric, I normally know lots of depressing songs. I don't think I know any songs depressing enough.
Not even the Smiths.
I listen to Coldplay and everything, and I don't know anything depressing enough for this. When you try your best but you don't succeed, it just doesn't seem to fit.
Yeah. You have to try your best to do that, don't you?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Oh. Yeah, no, I can't bring a song lyric up that would sum it up, I'm afraid.
Let's pretend there's a song lyric that says, I want to kill myself now, and that'll be alright. Because, right, I think we're beating around the bush. Bolton lost 6-0 to Bristol fucking City at the weekend, gentlemen. Jamie was there, as you may be able to tell, because he's from Bristol, who'd have thought. 6-0, fuck that. It was fun. I was actually watching Coles, Tom, and I had notifications on my phone. And he told me that it was 4-0. I was like, oh, that's it. And then that was the end of the Coles game. And I'd gone in my car and I'd driven home. By the time I got home, it was 6-0. I was like, people were up in arms. It's like 4-0. It's not that bad. It was like 6. I was like,
Now, the best thing about the fourth goal was the genuine surprise in the voice of the guy reading it out that it was Scott Wagstaff. He just genuinely sounded surprised he scored a goal. It was really depressing.
Do you know what? I do admit, though, it's really, really satisfying that each goal scored by a different player. And for that, I'm almost letting it slide.
The little things in life, yeah. Dan, the little things.
Man, I finally stomached watching the goals. I know I've not been able to listen to... Jimmy Phillips' reaction to it, yeah. I just can't bear it, even though I think he'd have been gracious and apologetic, shall we say. But I finally stomached watching the goals, and before the match I tweeted saying Wheater shouldn't be playing, we should be keeping Derek and Holding together, and I've thought that Booty's been our best player this season, so it wasn't like, it wasn't against him personally, it's just that these two are going to be our centre-backs next year, you hope these two need to play together. So then to see Wheater be absolutely like a fucking disabled man on the pitch. Like, I think goal 3 and 4 were both directly his fault. Just shambolic, as you say. Just inexplicably just... You're professional footballers! Oh, Christ alive. Was the Wagstaff the goal that... Goal number 6 was a fucking joke. And then I think Wagstaff's as well. It's just...
Man. Goal number 6, oh, the Brian goal, yeah.
Yeah, just what was the feeling like? Were you near the Bolton fans at all, Jamie, when you were there? 700 number.
Yeah, I mean, I actually could barely hear them from. I was the other end of that stand, so I was in the proper diehard City area, all the loud City fans. So no, I wasn't close enough to the Bolton fans. Couldn't see them through all the casement either.
Did any stay to the end?
Yeah, I think most of them seemed to stay at the end. I mean, I didn't... Looking over, you could still see a lot of people standing there. I didn't see them leave. But I don't know. I mean, I guess at that point, you kind of got to wait to the end, haven't you? I don't know.
Yeah.
Actually, I say that.
Could you hear them even at full time?
The only time I've left... Actually, to be fair, there was a couple of times I heard them. One of them was brilliant. At 5-0 down, they started olaying Bolton passes, which I just thought was absolutely beautiful.
Could you hear any of the fans at like full time? What was the feeling? Was it anger? Was it apatheticness? What was the feeling like?
I couldn't hear the Bolton fans at full time. The City fans were quite happy around me, so that's all I could really hear at that point. Yeah, I couldn't work it out either, to be honest with you. I couldn't really hear them, but that's because the City fans are quite loud. I'm sure they were making some noise, but it was an impressive turnout. It's a long way to go from Bolton to Bristol.
Yeah, it's all
like... it really is impressive that many made the trip for what was always going to be, like, you never expected that, but it was never going to be a good match because City have been terrible at home. And obviously, we don't do winning away from home, so it was always going to be terrible. To make that trip is impressive.
So, we all know every player on the pitch was bad, but who was particularly the worst? Jeremy?
Mark Davis did absolutely nothing. Davis...
nothing for the past four years, really.
I'm sick. What, saying Mark Davis? I'm sick.
Can I ask before I talk about him? Was he playing? Was it a four? What was the formation we were playing?
So it's it was a 4-4-2. So you had Derek at right back, which was
mistake for Phillips.
An experience not to be repeated. Then so Wieter holding, then it was Moxie on the left, and then Davis was on the right side of midfield. Walker being on the left, and then two central midfielders.
Okay, and so Woolery and Medine up front, yeah?
Yes,
See, before the game, because it looked like it'd be a 4-2-3-1, which I've been literally calling for all season, it looked as if I thought Davis would be finally in his position, so I was like, right, no excuses now, this is when he has to deliver. But no, I know he wasn't in his position, but looks like he still hasn't and may never do ever again. What were you going to say about him, Tom?
About who? Mark Davis?
Yep.
I'm just sick of him. I'm absolutely sick to the back teeth of him. The fact that we all got our blood pressure up because he was going to go to Sheffield Wednesday and then he wasn't and then he was again. He's been one of our worst players, and it's he's living off an old reputation that he made about four or five years ago based on potential and potential that's never been realised. And he's one of those Bolton players that seems to get away with a lot. You know, Liam Trott and Neil Dance can't put a pass out of play without having fans on the back, and he has been terrible all season. He's not been anywhere near the player that he should have been all season, and he's got away with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyone else? Jeremy was bad. Sorry, the flow of this podcast has been a bit slow, listeners. It's just I think we're all in quite a depressing state of mind at the minute.
Well, maybe with people liking Mark Davis as well, as quickly before I go on to that, he's the last bastion of the Premier League days, isn't he? There's still some good memories attached to Mark Davis. Well, not very many, but still a couple. Mm-hmm. Who else was bad? I mean, yeah, Wieter and Holding were both. I mean, I can't say I noticed who made the mistakes, but neither of them could have played well with the way they broke through. Like I say, Derek didn't do anything in defence, didn't do anything going forward. He was out of position. You can't really blame him for that. Mm-hmm. Woolery's got quite a lot of praise, but I don't think he really did all that much.
Mm-hmm.
That might be a little bit of a controversial view, but the only thing he really did was what I mentioned at the beginning. He got the ball and ran it out for a goal kick. You know, he did well to get there, but at least on the second occasion, I think it was Tom Walker was up in support, and he didn't even look for him.
Yeah, I'm going to ask actually, Tom Walker. It's someone I've been calling to get into this team all season, and with the change of manager, which we will discuss later, he's finally got his chance. And obviously, no player played well in that team. But how did Walker fare on his first game since Nottingham Forest back in October, September, I think?
I don't think he wasn't the worst on the pitch. I mean, he didn't create much. He didn't create anything, actually, I don't think. But then, I don't know. It's hard to boil down if the fact that Walker didn't create anything was Walker's fault.
Mm-hmm.
Whether the fact that Walker didn't create anything was because no one else around him was giving him an opportunity to create anything.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
No, you're right. The point is bad thing for wingers that if they don't get the service, they're just stranded out wide and then they get blamed for not doing anything when they've not had the ball. So you are right, yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, he got the ball and sort of you know, kept hold of it, moved it around a little bit, sort of looks lively in spells, but it's hard for an attacking player as well to sort of look lively for much of the game when we barely make, but most of the game, we barely made two touches, strong two touches together around the penalty area, and it's difficult for any player to come into it. I mean, again, this will be a controversial view based on the opinions being chucked around, but I mean, Medin was our man of the match on the day. He actually managed to bring the ball down, had a shot, created a chance, which Walker did sky as it happens, but yeah, I mean, it's difficult, because even with that, I mean, Medin was the best of an apocalyptically bad bunch, and he didn't bring the ball down anywhere near enough or play it off to players for Walker to have any form of service from that perspective either, so I think I would definitely give Walker another go in the team.
What about Villa in midfield?
He did nothing but give away fouls. I think the City fans around me would say he was quite lucky to have stayed on the pitch, actually. There were some just misguided late tackles, and I can't remember him doing anything positive, to be honest with you.
And
Prattley didn't offer much in the midfield. That was potentially part of the problem, but I don't know.
So, Tom, have you seen the goals?
Yeah.
Do you want to offer your thoughts on them?
It's hard to put it into words, really, isn't it?
Just a bit, yeah.
It's hard not to be a cliche. But shambolic. And I reckon the worst ever performance I've seen from a Bolton team, from probably the worst ever Bolton team that I've had. The team deserves to get walloped by Bristol City 6-0. They deserve to get beat by everyone above them. You know, we've come up against a team in good form. And the way that we're playing, we deserve to be getting walloped by teams in and around us. You know, we go away from home. Mark Isle said last week on the pod, you know, we go and we invite pressure, and you come up against a team that's, you know, on a bit of a bounce, and they're coming out of the relegation zone. This is going to happen. You're going to get walloped. To be honest, if we were within, you know, a few points of safety, if we were 4, 5, 6 points off, then you'd really then be turning around and saying, well, this is it, we're relegated. But that's done. That's been done for a long time. You know, in the grander scheme of things, it's not really affected anything, has it? It just goes to show truly how bad we are.
You know, we'll come on to the certain ginger in a moment, but it's like, you know, maybe it wasn't all his fault. You know,
but what can you say? He would have been laughing at final score of a beer.
Oh, beers.
He would have been.
He must have been. It's like I can just imagine him like a big comfy armchair, just fucking hearing it, just watching Sky Sports leaning forward, and he's leaning back and just having a chuckle to himself. Because he's got an out really on it. I don't know, we'll discuss it in a minute, but it's like, he's got an out with his relationship. I think he's got his reputation still intact, you know, and I think he'll go into another championship job within a year, which makes me feel sick a little bit, but, you know. What can we do? Is there anything else? Do you want to talk about the Bristol game, Jamie? Because I think we're all fucking running out of things to say.
Please put us out of our misery.
Yeah, I can't think of anything else, really, to be honest with you. Yeah, there's nothing noteworthy. You know, just watch City goals if you actually want to see what happened. That's it.
Yeah, because
I mean, the one thing I will use some it up, though, is that I don't feel City played well enough to deserve winning 6-0.
The goals weren't even good.
It's that we played badly enough to get thrashed 6-0. That's how I'll...
No, you are completely right. Like, all their goals were either just fucking tap-ins, rebounds off fucking Rychubka, and just our defence being like a fucking yawning hippo's mouth, just wide open. It's just a joke, really. I want to ask, actually, Tom. Amos we'll probably try and get rid of in the summer, you'd have thought, because wages. Richard, because the shittiest goalkeeper's ever played for us. Do you, and leaving in the summer anyway, because his contract runs out, do we play Harry Campbell, just to give him a go? Like, he might not be number one next year, and I imagine we'll try and get someone in for that role, but...
Oh, you mean in the remaining games?
Yeah, yeah, do we just give him a go? Why not? It can't be any worse. Well, it could be, but...
To be honest, you know, this is the view, innit? They can't, you know, the view is, oh, these players can't be any worse, and then we play as many young players as
No, I don't think we do. There was only three on the pitch, and you can't claim Villa as one of those, or Holding for that matter.
I suppose not, but the other young players that have been mentioned, that they're not near the first team.
I agree with you, but it's like, the first team are fucking wanks, so what, any right player to a spot?
I mean, to be honest, you know my view on it. We're relegated, we're a League One team, and do you know what, you're right, Amos isn't going to be there, I hope to God Richupa's not going to be there, so why not, you know, this is the perfect time to find out whether these lads are up to it.
I'm not even saying these keepers wouldn't be that good, like, I don't even know if they are, but it's just like, just why not, at this point, and I think it's a bit different for a goalkeeper than a field player, because with a few players, you know, it's like fitness and, you know, younger, not as developed bodies against hardly 27-year-old centre-backs and stuff like that. But with a keeper, it's a bit different, if you get me. Like, obviously, he might get battered if he comes up against fucking some 6 or 8 to whatever striker. But, I don't know, like, why not just give Campbell a go? Or if Fitzsimmons comes back from his loan.
Well, you're going to find out more about him in these games than you would do in pre-season, wouldn't you?
Exactly, and I just don't... I understand why some people are saying they're not ready, but they literally can't get any worse than losing 6-0, and I think we should just give them a go, really. Like, why not?
I think as far as a young keeper's concerned, though,
okay.
a different goalkeeper, it might have made a difference. He might have saved 1-2 of those. He still would have been on the end of at least a 4-0 thrashing.
Yeah, true, and then maybe...
And if you put a player in their first... one of their first-team starts, and they get pummeled, it's for a goalkeeper, that probably wouldn't do a lot of good for him.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
I think you probably need to wait till we got that defence sorted.
Yeah. Sorry, kid, you're never playing.
Some protection.
Yeah, you're probably...
So otherwise, right. You know, that keeper's just going to get hit for 6, and that's not going to help him at all, probably. No. I'd imagine, at least.
No, you probably are right there, yeah. It's just, I'm at a point where I'm just like, I don't care, but I don't... Like, apart from any... I don't think there's one player in that team that I care about that isn't, like, under 21 years of age. It's just... Oh, maybe if we let Derek, because he's 23, slide. Like, I don't think I care about one player over the age of 23. You know what I mean? Maybe Moxie. Yeah. Apart from that, there's not one player in that team I could give a fuck about, so I'm tired of watching listening to players that I just don't care about playing for my football team, and it's just shit, isn't it? So why not? Anyway, we'll bring that depressing conversation about a shit football match to a close. And next, I don't know, this is a very ramshackle thing put together quickly, and I want to get it done quickly as possible because I've got division to play, so we'll chat about a load of random shit next. Hello and welcome back to Love Pod 51. Just a quick heads up, I don't think there'll be a podcast next week because international break and there'll be fuck all to discuss. So, anyway, onwards with this one. Boys, there was three good pieces of good news last week, and we're going to talk about one of them at this point in time. It's that Neil Lennon was left the club by mutual consent, or in other words, sacked by the club last week. He's gone. Finally, with Jimmy Phillips in charge, and, you know, his first game went off like a house on fire. Literally a house on fire. People died. It was pretty grim. So, Tom, thoughts? I hear you've got notes.
I have got notes. I've written them down.
Do you want me to tell you what
I've got scribbled down?
Are you going to tell me what you've got scribbled down and then elaborate further?
Yeah, go on, I'll do that.
Go on.
It's his surname and then a smiley face next to it. And then the three facts or arrows that I've got by it 23% win percentage, reputation salvaged, inexperienced, and that's basically what I'm gonna rant about now.
Yeah.
He was not up to the job when he got it. I'm not classy enough to stay away from the "I told you so" angle, but I thought it when he came in that he wasn't.
Wasn't that your first article?
It was my first article. It actually started with me tweeting something about Neil Lennon being exactly what I didn't want, and Chris engaging in a Twitter debate, shall we say? And then it just blossomed from there. Yeah, but it was me saying Neil Lennon's not all he's cracked up to be. I am coming across as arrogant here. But
you were the one. You foresaw the future. We should have listened to you. Well, it's like that quote, innit? I think it's a Kirkabay quote, actually. The birds are tweeting every day saying, the world is a... you're all going to die in fiery fury or whatever. But sadly, we don't speak bird. So none of us speak Tom, apparently, even though he was telling us all along.
No. With me, it's more of a case of a broken watch being right twice a day. I say a lot, and sometimes it sticks. But I mean, listen, he's had more to contend with than we'd ever have imagined. But he's not been in this situation. He's not had to deal with a budget as limited as ours. He's not dealt with a relegation battle, and it showed, because the man, like every manager that we've had since Allardyce. The man's aged like 10 years in 18 months. It's madness. Yeah. I mean, the one that shocks me the most is when Owen Coyle got the job and he walked into the Reebok and he's got his little wash bag under his arm, fresh-faced. He looked like he could have played up front by the time he'd left. He was like a walking advert for the before shot for Just For Men.
You know, the best thing I've read is that Owen Coyle it looks like George Clooney's face being sculptured into a potato.
we just seem to do it to young managers.
Like being the president of America, innit? It's like those them photos of like a president before and after, and then
they look like a
ball sack by the end of it, just withered by the strain.
At least that's 8 years, not 18 months.
Correct. Correct.
So listen, back to Lennon. He's had more to deal with than we'd ever have imagined. But the fact of the matter is, on the football pitch, he had not had experience of a relegation scrap. His only experience was having undoubtedly the best team in Scotland and winning the league religiously with it. He didn't have the experience for it. His win percentage reflects that. He's got the worst of any Bolton manager in my lifetime. Now, you know, circumstances do play a part in that. But you know, that record's still going to stand. He's got the worst win percentage of any manager since Phil Neal. But then finally, as you said, Dan, you know, you said before that he's going to get a job in the Championship. The more time went on, the more it was falling at Neil Lennon's door.
That or he'll go back to Celtic. Just wanted to say that.
Yeah, probably. I think the longer it went on, the less of a value he would be to a football club in the future. If he'd have stayed with us to going down into League One and started the season in League One with us, his reputation wouldn't have survived it. So I think it was a good time for him to go. I thought it was a bit tongue-in-cheek, the mutual consent comment, because I don't think there was much mutual about it. But
well, I think, to be fair, I could see him like going, right, this is what it is. This is the situation. We can either sack you, but that's going to cost us money, so we can't. But we can't sack you. So if you say mutual consent, we'll pay you wages for the end of the year. You get out of this shithole. You don't have a relegation on your CV, and then you can save your reputation by saying, "Oh, it was awful circumstances. I could never manage in that." And you'll get another crack at somewhere big. So I think it probably was mutual consent. It's just, you know, but obviously they wanted to sack him, but they said, "We can't. This is what I'm thinking. Do this, and then you come out of it better for it." That's what, you know, that's what it seems like to me. Just like spitballing, I suppose. What do you think?
He started getting his excuses in, didn't he? You know, when he came out in The Guardian with the article, and I think the headline of the article was, "No manager should have to go through what I've been through at Bolton." And it just struck of him starting to get his excuses in. So, like you said, he probably thought this is the best time to go. This is the best time for me to leave Bolton, because it was only going to get worse. So, yeah, I can see the new owners wanting to start afresh and do their own thing. And it was a good time for Lennon to go as well, because it wasn't going to get any better for him.
Did you have to talk about anything else on your notes?
No, I've just started colouring in a picture of a robot eating Neil Lennon's N on his surname. And I'm going to call the robot Sports Shield. Pictures to follow.
Oh yeah, we've got it. That'll be the if you send it me that, I'll make it the picture on the website. Jamie, what are your thoughts on the whole scenario?
Yeah, and I think there's quite a lot in what you say. It's more mutual than people might give it credit for, because mm-hmm. I mean, I think, well, he knew he was on his way out at some point, didn't he? And he sort of, if they gave him a good time to leave, then he probably did take it. I mean, to be fair to the guy, he's now, what, the third, arguably fourth manager to fail to arrest our slide, so mm-hmm. you can't, obviously he has had that silly list of excuses that, I mean, it was a tough job, but he still has underperformed in the job, I think it's fair to say.
I think it was James Derbyshire on Twitter, and he said something like, he failed in a job that nobody had any expectations of him in. Which I think was pretty, you know, he underwhelmed in a job that he had no expectations in. So I think that's pretty telling. But please continue.
Yeah, it's probably a good point. And I think, I suppose one of the things is maybe if he hadn't started so well, you know, his first 12 games or so, if he hadn't done that, then maybe people would have been a lot more accepting of it.
Moving Chungi into the middle, one of the best, you know, great decisions that nobody else had seen before him. Stuff like that. Yeah. He actually showed so much promise.
Then pimping him out, and then don't forget, he pimped him out then after that.
Yeah,
the middle, and then started telling everyone how brilliant he was, and how he was better than this level, and soon enough he's in the Premier League. Don't forget that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, true. True, but I mean, if we'd gone down last season like we were going to, then maybe maybe we wouldn't speak so ill of him if we'd not struggled this season in League One, but I don't know. Yeah, he has underperformed, probably. I think we probably have got a squad that should be in touch. Maybe not outside the relegation zone, but should be in touch. And, yeah, we're not. We're, what is it now, like 13 points adrift? 12, 13 points adrift? It's not a squad that should be that far adrift of the rest of the pack. It's not. It on paper, at least, it's not that much worse than everyone else down here. And he has messed up a job that was difficult. Which is a strange thing to say, but that's probably my view on it.
Mm-hmm. So
I think it hit the point where he had to go, because everything had become so toxic around Neil Lennon.
Yeah, you're right. I agree. I can't say much more. It's just, it was shite. I think the one question is now, who's next, Tom? Who's going to have that poison chalice next?
Oh, wow. Somebody with League One experience, somebody that cares and loves Bolton Wanderers, somebody with a track record of promotion, and preferably with a tanning salon addiction.
And what about a great singing voice?
As long as it's showcased to millions on Match of the Day or Sky Sports, team talks on the pitch, I'm all for that as well. Preferably former right backs, because you know Jurgen Klopp used to be a right back and he's pretty good as well. So if you can find one of those, I mean, you know, anyone to tick at least 80% of that criteria, that'd be brilliant.
Well, I can't. No one rings a bell, really. Have you got anyone in mind, Tom?
Not Neil Cox, I know that.
Nicky Hunt.
Being silly aside, I think Phil Brown. Is a sensible choice. I think we have learned far too many times about taking risks with younger managers who haven't been there, done it, worn the T-shirt, been through struggles, failed, succeeded at unfashionable clubs. You look at what Phil Brown has done with Southend, go on, I'll take that. If you take him from League 2, not only up into League 1, but to to a pretty successful position in League One as well. Yeah,
playoffs this year.
Absolutely take that. Absolutely take it.
Yeah. Jamie, any advances?
Well, I suppose I put one name out there, which is a little bit. A lot of people would say no, but Steve Cottrell, who got sacked by City, of course, early in the season, he's a very, very good League One manager.
Yeah,
he took them after something like 9 months without a win or something stupid, like 7 months without a win. And he turned them around, he kept them up, mid-table finish, then they walked the league last season. That would be an appointment I wouldn't complain about. Sorry?
Did he have a bit of money at Bristol?
I think, yeah, they did sign some players. I think last year they didn't spend more than six figures on a player, but I think they did probably spend a bit of cash on players. Obviously, we're yet to find out.
You know, obviously, we still don't know
whether Sports Shield bring any cash. Yeah, even then, before he brought the players in, he turned them around. He kept them in that league well. So he'd be a shout. And people keep on linking Nigel Pearson to the job, which I find really strange.
He wouldn't. He'd drop that low.
But the thing is, the one thing I'll say to that is
manager.
Definitely.
But there have been big championship clubs with vacancies, and I haven't seen his name mentioned near them.
See, I think he's quite to have got far with them. Man, and I think he's trying to win for a Premiership job. I reckon.
Yeah, fair enough.
I reckon whatever team goes up next year,
he'll either get the Villa job or the whole job if Steve Bruce goes to Villa.
Yeah, I think that's pretty sound assessment. That really, but yeah, I think Cottrell's like you say. Cottrell feels like what Tom said about him being there and doing it and not being new. He's like,
exactly.
He's like League One's Mick McCarthy type thing, isn't it? But he's a dickhead, yeah. and he becomes absolutely turgid when he gets to the Championship. And I'm not saying we're going to get to the Championship anytime soon or anything, but you know what I mean. I think the number one.
Jamie's onto something, you know.
No, he is right, and that's a good.
He could do a lot worse than Cottrell.
But I think Sports Shield's number one aim, I think, will be next season. Won't be to get promotion, obviously. That's what they'll say on paper. But it'll be to bring the feel-good like factor at Bolton to get people happy again. And Phil Brown will do that just because of everything Tom mentioned, just former player. You know, we all know, we all had the links with Brown. We all know the stuff with Allardyce that's been touted, other former players coming back into the fold and stuff like that. I just see, Phil Brown seems so obvious that any other choice is almost a disappointment in a way, isn't it? Because we just know with Brown, it'll just be, and that'd just be funny, won't it? It's Phil Brown.
Well, not necessarily guarantee, but you can say pretty confidently that he absolutely wants that job.
Yeah,
I mean, he wanted it.
And the chair, you can tell because the chairman's shitting himself before Lennon was even sacked. So you just know that's, you know, and he'll push for it, won't he? If it's on.
I think at Southend they're preparing for the compensation claim already.
Yeah, and they've got to focus
on the bastards. Brownie wanted the job before Allardyce, when he was caretaker just before Sam got the job. He wanted it then, and the reason why he didn't get it is because he was inexperienced, and you know enough time has passed for him to be more than ready for it now.
Brown, manager, Allardyce, director of football? Is that what we're saying?
Oh, I don't know. He has too much fun keeping teams in the Premier League, doesn't he?
Is that what we're saying? Is that what you're saying? Come on. Because that's what I'm saying. That's what I want.
Go on, amazing, wouldn't it?
I'll let you. Yeah. You give it there. You heard it here first. Go on, Dan.
Mate, you heard it fucking months ago from lineofbeingthesweet.com, and you know it. I think that's all we need to discuss on this front, unless you've got anything else to add. Thomas or GMA? Any sympathy for Neil? Any sympathy?
No, you're employed to do a job, you didn't do it. Correct. See you later.
Correct answer. We'll be back in a minute to talk about more happenings in this week in the world of Bolton. As I alluded to earlier, lads, there has been some good news this week despite the awful football, and that is that Bolton have had their winding up order thrown out by the court, dismissed by the court, because HRMC have had all their debt paid to them in full, and Bolton are now relatively, and you know, at least to the HRMC, debt free. So, is this cause for celebration and jubilation, Tom?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, this is more important than this is me putting a twist on it. More important than the Bristol City game. More important than any other game for the rest of the season. this is what, you know, the new owners said they were going to do. They were going to come and get that paid off. That's the best news that we've had, apart from the take, in a long time.
Yeah, I think I'm a bit worried because I've been talking to Ian Superwhite Smurf, who was at court again today, and he's going to have an article at some point on the site. And apparently, it's not all as rosy as it seems behind the things. He tweeted earlier something about us being mortgaged to the hilt, and I'm a bit worried on that front. But at the moment, until it bites us in the arse, I'm going to be blissfully unaware and just be happy that my club's not going to die today. How about you, Jamie? What do you think?
Yeah, no, Tom's right. It's the biggest result of the season, really. We had to just... The most important thing was making it to next season, not which league we were playing in.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's a legitimate worry that the club might be mortgaged to the hill, and that was always going to be a risk with a company that we don't know where their money is coming from, how much they have. It was always going to be a risk that they were just going to pump us full of debts, and, you know, we'll see how that unfolds, won't we? But we'd have to worry about that for a little while to come. You know, the most important thing was dealing with that debt here and now, and hopefully we can pay the players the outstanding money that owes. I think Feeney was saying that he still owed money, so I guess the rest of them are. Once we get that sorted as well, then hopefully we'll be up to date on all that, and we can look forward. Well, I look forward to more cost cutting, and look forward to hopefully a more stable financial future.
So that's what I was going to ask. Actually, we alluded to earlier. What do we think, if any, will be the transfer budget next year? What we're thinking, because we already know that they are cutting away players, the high earns and stuff, which should have been done a long, long time ago, really. So, Tom, what do we think our transfer budget will be next year in the summer under Shield? Because you think we're already going to, if we all think we're going to get for Brown, which we all presume, then that's going to cost a hefty fee to get him. So, what do we think?
Yeah, I mean, that's going to cost. There was a figure bandied about today that relegation to League One is going to cost us about £5 million.
Mm-hmm.
We've got the. It's not called financial fair play, is it? But you've got to live even more within your means.
You've got to, as well. That's right.
It's really difficult. I mean, it could be anything, couldn't it? I mean, it depends. The fact of the matter is, we don't know about these investors behind the scenes. You know, we don't know how much they are willing to put in. I don't know. It depends on who we get rid of. It depends on, you know, which players we get rid of and what the salary looks like. I think that's more important, not necessarily the transfer kitty, more the wage budget. I think finding free transfers or younger players or loan signings, whatever it is, I think it's more having the money to pay the wages than it is to get them in on a transfer fee.
Yeah, I think you're right. I believe Nixon's already been branded about that we're after some young kid from the lower leagues. I don't know who. It's been cryptic. No one knows, apparently. Just, you know, keep it vague, so whenever we sign someone from League 2, you'd be like, oh, see. But anyway. Yeah, Jamie, what do you think on that? You echo Tom's thoughts?
It depends on two things, doesn't it? It depends how much money they actually have, and probably depends a lot on how many players we can move on. You know, the quicker we move on, people join Feeney, the Spearings, Davis and stuff, leave, the more money won't be spent this year having to cover their wages, can maybe be spent next year on bringing in players. I imagine that might have quite a big bearing on how much money there will be to spend. And then obviously whether or not we have to pay Brown out of a contract, whether we get a manager in for free, it'll all have quite a big impact.
Yeah, you're right. And Tom, you mentioned there about moving players on. Well, one player has already moved on. Liam Feeney, much to the jubilation of every single player in the world, person in the world, I should say, moved to Ipswich on loan for the rest of the season, which will see the end of his contract, meaning he's played his last game for Bolton, just as he was starting to, you know, put a string of decent performances together, which is just our luck. And no doubt, he'll turn into peak Luis Figo under Mick McCarthy. But what can we do? What do you think of his departure?
Well, to be honest, of the players that probably deserved a transfer out of this
just
plague
shit
of a football club, yeah, was Liam Feeney. You know, he was, you know, probably putting himself in the shop window. And like you said, he was playing pretty well. I think he'll be missed more than some people think.
No, I'm starting to agree with you, kind of. Not like it matters anyway, but...
No, it doesn't. But, I mean, you know, on the pitch, he was our, as ineffective as it was, he was our outlet ball.
And, you know, a lot of our play came through him, so it's going to be a bigger change than some people think, because, you know, I think a lot of the criticism that Feeney got was the fact that he was wasteful. But the reason why
he was the only player who was wasteful.
He saw so much of the ball. Yeah, he saw so much of the ball. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to take, I know it's going to sound really strange, I do think it's going to take a little bit of time for the team to adapt to not having him on the pitch, because he's the first person they looked for on anything that resembled a counter-attack, no matter how slow it was.
Yeah, you're pretty bang on there. Jamie, what do you think of Feeney getting shipped out?
It's amazing how his Bolton career went from us being so desperate to sign him and so upset when he ended up at Blackburn on loan for the rest of that season this incredible jubilation of him having left. But, you know, yeah, like Tom says, he does have quite a big bearing on our games. He's, second highest goal scorer. Yeah. He does create goals as well, and he will be missed. You know, we have got Woodery with some pace who can maybe fill in some of the void, but, you know, it'd be interesting to see if we can discern an effect for the rest of the season not having him in the team.
Yeah, but I think, like I said, it doesn't matter now who's in the team or not. It's just about getting as much money off the wage bill as possible. And two players, Jay Spearing and Matt Davis, have been told they can find new clubs, two of our highest earners. The loan window closes on Thursday. Do any of these two or any other players leave before that deadline, Jamie?
Maybe, it depends, doesn't it, if anyone's interested, what deal if we want to cut. I mean, yeah, it completely depends. If Sports Shield are adamant they'll have to find someone who will pay the whole of those guys' wage, then probably not. But if they feel they'll let them go for quite a small percentage of anything just to try and get them in the shop window, try and get someone interested in signing them in the summer, then it makes it more likely. But time is up against it, and, you know, Mark Davis failed to move in January over however long it was, so we all know these things don't go swimmingly, but hopefully they can get them out, because, you know, yeah, the more money we could save now, the more money there is to spend later, or the less debt there is put up against our assets, so let's hope we can get rid of a couple of them.
Tom, same to you.
Pointless.
From a player's perspective, I'd really want Jay Spearing to find another club. I don't think he's... Listen, I don't think he's necessarily played brilliantly. He's not been terrible. But, the fact of the matter is he is not going to play for Bolton Wanderers again, because if he makes that 23rd appearance, that's £100,000 that the club doesn't want to spend. So I really hope that he finds another team, preferably in the Championship, and I'm sure he will, just to get him playing. And like Jamie said, you know, put himself in the shop window for the summer. Matt Davis, it sounds terrible, but I'm starting to turn against him. I don't really care about Matt Davis.
Is he defensive?
Whether he goes to Sheffield Wednesday, whether he goes, you know, wherever he goes, he could go to Wigan for all I care. I don't really care about Matt Davis anymore. He can go if he wants. It'll be a strange one with Wheater, because I think you'd have to drag Wheater out kicking and screaming. Because I don't really think Wheater wants to leave, but the fact of the matter is, he is unbelievably expensive, and I don't see him wanting to take a massive pay cut to stay. Mm-hmm. So let's hope Middlesbrough want him back for some sort of sentimental reason.
Here's hoping, yeah. I think, yeah. I forgot to ask, actually, back into the subject of managers and stuff. Jamie Phillips is in charge till the end of the season now. Do you think that's a good call, Tom?
Not
take a Saturday into account.
Yeah, it's sensible, isn't it? I mean, just like I think they've admitted defeat. The new owners have admitted defeat at the end of the season. There's no point rocking the boat with Southend on the edge of the playoffs. If Brownie's the one that they want, let him see the season out. Let him try and get Southend up, because you've seen with Guardiola and Pellegrini what sort of a chaos that can cause a football team when they decide that a manager's going and staying or leaving. I think it's sensible. It's going to be expensive during the season. Let Brownie see it out, and then we'll try and pinch him in May.
Yeah, Jamie, what do you think? Do you think it's a smart call just putting Jimmy in, you know, despite Saturday? Which he got a few decisions wrong, really, looking at, you know, Derek at right back, Davis at wide, stuff like that. Maybe he's not actually been watching the first team. You know, why would he really? He's the academy director. He's not nothing to do with the first team, is he?
Well, yeah, sure, he got some things wrong, but I mean, he had what, like 3 days, wasn't it, prepare the team, and it's not his fault if the rest of them don't bother trying. You know, if Mark Davis tried tracking back, then Derek wouldn't have been so exposed, etc. You know, but yeah, no, I agree with Tom. There's no merit in upsetting the apple cart at this point and trying desperately to get someone in because we're dead and buried anyway. Yeah. So no one's going to come in and make a difference. Bring in the summer. Clean slate. I mean, the one thing I might say about it is putting someone in post now would let them judge the players that we might want to keep and whether or not we actually do want to keep them.
Yeah,
so if there was someone they wanted who was available, then it would there be some merit putting them in post. But, you know, if they've got the heart set on Phil Brown, there's no point trying to... Because Southend won't let him go right now. They might be more susceptible in the summer when they can find their own replacement.
Yeah, true, true. So, Tom, you want to talk about Darren Prattley, I hear?
Yeah, let's talk about Prattley. I hear and read that he's coming for a lot of stick today for basically apologising for the team's performance. It's not up to Jimmy Phillips to apologise because he's been the interim manager for 3 days. It's certainly not his... responsibility to apologise, and Darren Prattley is the leader of the players that were on that pitch, is the person to take responsibility, hold his hands up and say that was a shambles, and that's what he's done. And I'm just struggling to believe why he's being criticised for doing so. He's on a hiding to nothing. He can't win in that situation. You know, people aren't going to turn around and say, oh yeah, thanks Darren, I feel much better now. But if nothing was said, people would be complaining that nobody said anything about the performance and they're trying to ignore it. He can't win in that situation. He's the club captain. He has to come out. He's at the first opportunity. He's coming to work today on Monday morning. He's finished his training session and he's gone to the press and apologised to the fans. And that is all he can do.
I think some were complaining that it wasn't done on Saturday after the game. And like no players were out for interviews, which is strange.
It might have been that Jimmy Phillips has told them not to. It might have been, you know, we don't know what's gone on in the changing rooms, to be honest. The fact that they've not come out to speak in the press. If I'd been on the end of a 6-0 drubbing, the first thing I wouldn't want to do is go and talk to, you know, as lovely as Mark is, I wouldn't want to go and speak to Mark Isles about how crap we were. Because you wouldn't want to talk about it. So, you know, he's coming to work Monday morning. He's done the right thing. He can't win, can he? You know, people aren't going to say, oh, you know, lots of respect for... Thanks, Darren, for apologising. I feel much better now. He's put himself in the firing line. But that's his position as captain. He has to do that.
Yeah. Speaking of apologies and stuff, some people, notably Mr. Jamie here, have discussed fans getting refunded for their tickets. Now, I personally disagree with that notion entirely. I am a person who tends to think that if the moment you ask for a refund, you become a customer and not a fan. But, Jamie, I want to hear your side of the argument, and I'm sure the listeners do. Why do you think the fans deserved a refund on Saturday?
But, I suppose there's no real logical reason. I mean, it's an emotional reaction to the horror show, isn't it? But, you know, it was... It's the only time I've ever thought it, actually, as well. Because, I mean, I was at that FA Cup semi-final. You know, that's been the benchmark up to now of a piss-poor performance. And there was something so different about the game on Saturday. There was something I can't put my finger on it. There was so much so fundamentally wrong with everything that went on that pitch that I just felt that it was at such a low level. And it was so bad that maybe something like that should be done. Do I expect that to happen? Of course not. But I think, I mean, it would have been nice at least to have had a more prompt apology. I mean, I get what Tom's saying. People probably would have slagged Prattley off either way. But personally, I think it would have had more impact if something like that had been said on Saturday evening.
Yeah, I
agree. But I think they probably were told not to speak to the press because it's pretty unheard of for no player to speak to anyone. But I think given it was so bad, it was on sort of a whole new level of bad, and it's such a... I mean, I know as well as anyone how much of an effort it is to make that trip between Bolton and Bristol. It's not pleasant. And
you're not on about yourself because you were in the home end. You're from Bristol. I think you're not on about yourself per se, are you? You're on about
not at all. I mean, I'm currently sat, I think, 4 miles from the ground. I can't complain. Although the tickets are bloody expensive, £20 for a ticket at Ashton Gate.
Ridiculous. It's not the worst I've seen.
No, but it's for atrocious championship football. It's not great. I mean, you put that much effort in, you know, that's a lot of money as a whole day. I mean, you know, if people are driving down as well, then that's a lot of money to drive down the M5 to watch that. And I don't know, I can't really put a properly logical argument together as to why I think that.
Okay.
But as far as an emotional response, it kind of makes sense.
Mm. Tom, what do you think on the debate?
I think it's quite a narrow, elitist, modern view of football. If you want a refund, you are expecting a service. Football clubs don't provide a service; they provide entertainment. If you go to the cinema and you don't enjoy the film, you don't go to the till at the end and go, I want my money back, that was terrible. You turn to your mate, you say, that was a terrible film, I'm not going to buy the DVD. Mm. So if you didn't like it at Ashton Gate, if you thought that was enough was enough, don't buy a season ticket, don't buy an away ticket. When I'm wound up with Bolton, I don't go to the match. And that might not make me the best fan in the world, and I'm probably not. But if I want to, you know, show my displeasure, I do it by not turning up to the next away game, because I don't want to be there, because it's supposed to be entertainment. If not entertaining me, I don't go. Simple as that. They're not providing a service. It's this elitist view. You know, there'll be football fans going watching Crew week in, week out, just like we are, but at a lower level. And they won't be demanding refunds. There'll be football fans at FC United who are watching the team struggle, and I can guarantee they're not asking for refunds. There are football fans up and down the country watching a standard far below ours in a similar position in a league to us. And I think that the viewpoint at that level is that they're going there because they want to be there. Now, if you don't want to be there, if you don't want to go, if you don't like what you see, don't buy a ticket. Yeah. Don't demand a refund. This isn't a service. It's entertainment. And if you're not entertained, vote with your feet. Simple as that.
Yeah, couldn't agree more, really. And like, I appreciate like James' argument. I understand it, but I understand the feeling behind it, but like, not the logic, really. Or like I said, I'm against it. I've always been against it. Really.
No. As far as an actual logical argument goes, it doesn't make all that much sense. I'd be the first to admit that. Yeah. Like, as a logical argument, being against it does make far more sense.
Yeah.
Far more sense.
Also, from a slightly less serious point of view, things could get a lot worse, and they probably don't want to set a precedent and refund.
Get a refund now, we lose fucking 8-5, well, 8-0 next week.
Ugh. When we get beat.
8-5, that'd be exciting at least.
Oh, yeah, sorry about it. So, anyway, I think the last thing to talk about before we get away is after the international break, we're at home to Reading. Do you expect anything from the game, Tom?
Well, after I've instructed fans not to go to the match, an attendance under 5,000. No, to be honest, I don't even know how good Reading are at the minute. I don't know where they are in the table. I can guarantee they're better than us. A spirited draw.
Fair enough. Jamie, are you?
Reading have been dropping like a stone, I think. They're actually surprisingly close to, well, not to us, but to the relegation zone.
Especially with how much...
Nobody's surprisingly close to us.
That's depressing, that.
No.
Especially with how much money they spent in the summer. You know, they got Vidra, all the John, PAs on. You know, I know they got Blackman in January and stuff, but they've really fucked it this year, haven't they?
Well, as an aside to where we are, I mean, that does sum it up. I mean, you look at Fulham, who are 1 point above the relegation zone. We spent $2 million on Ream, probably $8 million on McCormack, something like that. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of money on that team, and it's 13 points better off than we are. That's it's just a bit of a joke, really.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes it no surprise that we're at block bottom when our more expensive players are being loaned out because we can't afford them anymore. But no, I can't expect anything from that match. Having been at Ashton Gate, I can't expect. I'd hope for a reaction. Yeah. That'd be it. You know, just the players have to put in a performance that they can be proud of and that the fans can be proud of. And beyond that, I mean, I don't know. Maybe it'll be a draw. Maybe they'll nick a win. They probably won't nick a win. Maybe they'll nick a draw. But I don't know.
I think we'll lose 2-0. So that's been... Yeah, I'm not going to be optimistic. I'm past that point now. So that has been episode 51 of the Love Pod. 50... What did I just say? I've lost my train of thought. No, but I said... Right, I fucked my outro. I always fuck the outros. Right. Right. Oh, I said everyone. Right. I said everyone. And then as I was about to say Love Pod 51, I forgot that I said everyone. I thought I'd said 51 already. So I was like, what? But anyway... Everyone, that's been Love Pod 51. Thank you very much for listening to our, you know, quite depressed and sombre tones. But, you know, there's always the future, for now, at least. I'm hearing bad things about our actual future, but I'd rather not discuss them right now. Anyway, you can get Tom at Down the Manny Road, and you can get Jamie, is it Jamie_Moss123?
Sounds right.
Yeah, you can follow them on Twitter, you can follow me at Mabroski, and, you can, of course, see all our wonderful articles on lineofviennasuite.com. You can follow the site on lineofviennasuite. And you can go on facebook.com/lineofviennasuite for all more debates and stuff like that. And us calling stupid supporters because, you know, we're the type of website who does that because why not? It's funny. And no, unless there's any other business, I believe that is the end of the show. Beautiful, beautiful. So, say goodbye, Jamie.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Tom.
See you later.
And goodbye from me, c'est la vie.